Okay, good morning. We are continuing Hilchos Trefos. We are going to finish most of Sirchos Areya today, the Sirchos of the lungs, okay, which is the only ones that we must check for. Okay, so we are Siman Lamed Tet. So we finished reading inside Yud Gimel, and we're starting to read Seif Yud Dalet. But just to conclude Yud Gimel, this Siman... Yud Gimel is the main siman that's one of the main ones that are most relevant for actually doing the checking of the sirchas. So we learned to the Shulchan Aruch writes, we know that we previously learned it doesn't matter how thin or thick the sirchas are, that makes no difference. But we're going to learn it does matter a little bit how strong it is or how well attached it is. Okay, so that we had a glimpse into, and we'll discuss a bit more today. So again, we all know that the prevalent minhag in Europe and some Sephardic communities is that they allowed the what they called mishmush or mi'uch. They would rub it hard until the sirchas would dissolve or rip in their hands as they're rubbing it. And that was allowed. And then, that was the minhag, right? The Marshal justifies it, the Rosh, and the Ramah brings it as an okay, as okay for being kosher. Obviously, the Ramah's opinion, the Lechatchila, when it comes to feeling sirchas, is identical to Rav Yosef Karo, Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef. There's no difference. Beis Yosef is not more strict than the Ramah's preferred opinion. It's exactly the same. And then after you rub it, so after you, if you're able to dissolve it or rub it away, you have to remove it completely from the rea. Again, normally you don't have to check. We check for sirchas, but you don't have to normally check it in water and blow it up and check for holes. We're just checking for sirchas. But if you're going to remove it, then you need to put some water, saliva, either way, or the water, the temperature, mayim poshrim, basically room temperature, but it's the saliva temperature, or slightly above, but not cold water. And then that goes over the hole, or where you remove the sircha, to see if there's a hole. So normally, if it's just one little sircha, you can just remove some of it, and you can just put some water on there, maybe hold it with your hand, cup it around there to keep the water there, and you can blow on it, and you'll see if it bubbles, that means there's a hole. If it doesn't bubble, there's no hole, and it's kosher, according to the more lenient opinion in the Ramah. Obviously, if there's more, or whatever the situation is, sometimes you can just immerse it into a bucket, a little bath, and blow on it that way. We've all seen that with tires, that they immerse it in water, and they see if there's bubbles coming up, and that tells you if there's a hole or not. Okay. That's... okay, so just to take a step back again, so when you get to the animal, we send out a couple of pictures just in series. Basically, when you check the animal, you remove, you flay, you cut through the skin around the stomach area off to remove the hide or down to the leg. Then you remove some of the organs that are in the way, and then you reach the tarpash, the diaphragm. And so what's done is, you make one small slit on the right side and one small slit on the left side. So you can each put your hand into each side, one at a time, and you check. And you only want to do a small slit on either side. Rabban David says sometimes they'll do a little bigger one in the middle, just one in the middle, and then that from that one in the middle, you can first do your right hand and then do the left hand or vice versa, it doesn't matter. Now, the reason why you're just doing a small slit and you're not just cutting out the entire diaphragm initially, so there's two reasons for it, is because, number one, you can have a sircha going from the lung to the diaphragm. So you don't want to, you know, remove the sircha before checking. So that's, right? That's like trying to remove the evidence before, trial. So you got to leave as much of it intact and then you feel carefully. The other issue is, Ben David pointed out, as soon as you obviously when it dies, the temperature starts to cool down a little bit of the animal, And as soon as you remove the diaphragm, that lung is also going to get much cooler faster, right? Because of the air from the outside. So you want to try and keep it as warm as possible, because it's easier to remove the sirchas while it's warm than when it's cold. When it's cold, it gets rougher. And you ideally want them to peel off so that it could still be considered glatt kosher. Let's see. And generally, also, I was told that when you're checking it for sirchas, it's when it's blown up, the bodek chutz afterwards. Because then you can see it better, you can peel it away better, and you can see how it behaves better. Okay. Let's see.
So what's the ideal?
So the ideal, okay, so now, the next thing is, now it comes out, we're going to get to this in a second, it comes out that most of the time there are sirchas. Okay, I can just read to you or show you, and this is kind of what I've sort of heard more or less from different shochtim. It's in the Chulin Illuminated book. So in the back, he writes that if you go to different places around the world, just we'll get to that in one second. So he writes that in America, to have no sirchas at all, you only find 2%. I generally heard in Eretz Yisrael, to find no sirchas, it's going to be between, let's say, 2 and 5%. Maybe 5% of the cows, you'll find no sirchas at all. Okay? But then, he also points out in other places of the world, it can be whatever, anywhere from 15 to 70%. Brazil is being the best. There's a place in the very southern tip of South Africa, South America, in Tierra del Fuego, near Cape Horn, if any of you know what that is or been there. He says sirchas are actually very rare at all, where it's extremely cold. So anyways, then how many, to be completely sircha free, so that obviously depends on the herd, the climate, you know, how they're fed, free rein, not free rein, all kinds of different issues. But anyways, generally, it's going to be a small percentage. For most of us, when we're shechting, it's a small percentage, except for South America, it can be higher. So anyways, but that's that. And then as far as having, okay, so then 20 to 30% is what I was told for Eretz Yisrael. It's very common to get 20 to 30%, where we call it 100% glatt kosher. Chalak, glatt, according to Shulchan Aruch and according to the Rama, Lechatchila. And how is that? Because let's say 25%, whatever the percentage is, a nice percentage of the sirchas that we do find are actually very light, and you can pull them off, well, that's what I meant, you can pull them off very lightly from the lungs. Basically, if it's, one way of defining it, is if it's attached, maybe fenim, that's one way to put it, inside the lung, the sircha is attached to the fibers inside the lung, inside the membrane that's cased over the lung, so then it's going to be called a sircha, and you can't use that sircha. That would make it a complete trefa, except for the lenient opinion in the Rama, which would be used by kasher in America or kasher rabbanut in Israel, if you're able to dissolve it by rubbing. So again, so the process that many use is called kiluf, peeling. But you're basically peeling or pulling lightly on the sircha. And what they're basically doing is, if it's attached only on the outside, it's called chutz. If it's attached to the fibers on the inside, it's called pnim. But what you're basically doing is you're lifting gently or pulling on the sircha. If you can peel it off and it doesn't pull on the membrane of the lung, or it doesn't pull on the lung as you peel it off, then it's 100% glatt kosher. 100%, 100%.
It doesn't make a hole.
If it peels off and there's no hole, correct.
But if there's no hole, means it's glatt.
It has to have no sircha and no hole. No sircha means you peel it off and it just peels off. Let me give you an example.
If you don't know, if you decide not to peel it.
If you did, that means you didn't check. You're not allowed to eat it without doing a check. It's asur derabanan to eat without checking. Ne'evda gets lost, So that's a machlokes Shulchan Aruch Rama. Okay. Just as a, if it helps to, as an analogy, when you have these little post-it signs, so if it's, if you use it a few times, you can put it on the piece of paper and it won't lift the paper with it. But if it will, I mean, just if that helps you to understand, that basically it depends how many times you played with it, and then it becomes looser. If you can pull it off without it pulling on the lung, then that would be also, we know that there's surface tension, you can have water drops, you know, on the side of the walls, on ceilings, and it just if that helps to as an analogy. But the, okay, let's see what else. So generally what's done is you check inside, you feel for sirchas, and then if there's any sirchas that you feel, which is going to be on 95%, let's say, again, it depends which animals you're working with, then the bodek panim, who's checking, will mark on a piece of paper where he feels the sirchas are. So then later on, the bodek chutz will check in those areas. And the bodek chutz is the one who afterwards, you know, you remove the entire tarpash, the diaphragm, and you take it off, and you can blow it up, whatever, you cut it out. And then you do all this, the feeling. And that's pretty much in a nutshell what that is. I'll just, an interesting tidbit from Belsky. Again, there's obviously more into it than we all know, unless you're living in the slaughterhouses. But he pointed out, once the shochet and the bodek establishes which animals are kosher, so just interesting, because you don't want to have a mistake with the kosher animals being mixed up with the non-kosher animals. So what the bodek does is he takes a knife and he makes, at least this is in America, I don't know what's in here, is you take a knife and you make some slits inside of it. Basically two letters, the first letter of the parsha, the first letter of the day of the week. So you're either making little tiny cuts in the shape of an aleph, bet, or gimel, whatever the day of the week is, and then the first letter of the parsha. If it's bo, it would be a bet, and if it's shmos, it would be a shin. And so what's the purpose? Because you can only make, right now these are called hot cuts. If you wait for tomorrow for it to cool off, or after it's in the fridge for some hours, then it's called cold cuts. Nothing to do with what you eat, just these are hot cuts and cold cuts, because it's hot and cold, or it's warm. And the difference is, which is why it can't be forged, is if you make the cut, so it has, it's like a seal, it has the letters, and it has these cuts, they open up and become oval while the animal is still hot or warm. Once it becomes cold, so I mean, this helps, obviously there's a small time where anyone can come and switch it, so you have to watch it. But later on, 12 hours later, whatever, it can't be forged. If you try and make a cut later on, it's going to look completely different. It's just going to stay as a very thin little slit, and it won't move. Only when it's in the proper letters and it starts to open up an oval, so that's when this siman works. Anyway, just in case
that. What is the siman? It's kosher.
It has the correct letters that it's supposed to, and it's all the slits are more oval shaped as opposed to a very clean. They did that for the kosher ones. Just okay. Let's see, anything else here? Rabbi David, he has his own boutique type of kashrus label. So what he does is, after the bodek panim says there's no sirchas, so then from that 5%, he'll cut open the entire tarpash, the diaphragm, and then look at it, because he wants to just, you know, double check and look at everything and make sure that it has no sirchas at all. So that's, anyway, whatever. So let's go on the next point, just to clarify. Again, so the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah when it comes to sirchas, essentially what we call glatt kosher, is identical. Just remember, the Ramah has his glatt kosher, chalak, and he has his bedyeved, which he relies on for the masses, because that's the minag. But, so what's done nowadays in all the slaughterhouses, so as far as I know in America, and all of the bedatz ones in Israel, so it doesn't matter if it's Reuben, Landau, Machpon, Beis Yosef, Eid HaCharedis, all the shochtim are doing exactly the same, and their halak is identical. That's my understanding from speaking to Rav Ben David or Rav Bernstein, who was the Rav Amakshar for all of Rabban Mahadran, Kasher Mahadran in Yerushalayim, and a couple others. But as far as most of us know, they're all doing the exact same standards. As far as this halacha, again, there's a lot that goes into kashrus. I'm not saying anything here political, but as far as the definition of what a sircha is for this, they're all identical, and they're all basically doing the same thing. They're peeling off lightly the sirchas, and this is good according to Ashkenazim and Sfardim equally lechatchila. Correct. I mean, anyone that's Badatz Chalak. As far as I know. I mean, I'm not in charge of any kashrus agency, but correct. It just happens to be, we learned, now, the standards that we're doing nowadays is according to the Rabban, who's actually much more machmer than the Shulchan Aruch. Everyone has it's a little bit of a misnomer. People think Chalak Beit Yosef means no sirchas at all. So we know that Chalak Beit Yosef means, according to Rav Yosef Karo at least, you're allowed to have lots of sirchas. It just has to be kesidron, and it has to come off easier. And sircha teluya is okay, we learned. It's the Rama who's machmer for many, for some extra sirchas. And we're going to see on the back of the lung, we're going to see, I don't think we saw that yet. We're going to see another case. Okay, so it happens to be the Rama, and the standards nowadays is going to be a combination of Rav Yosef Karo and the Rama, and so it turns out the Rama, according to Lishitas, so Lechatchila is actually more machmer than Beis Yosef. Yeah, Lamaisa, they're all keeping the chumras of both. I just pointed out that people think that Beit Yosef Chalak is more strict than the Rama, but it's the truth is the Rama is really more strict than Rav Yosef Karo. Right. And just so I don't, when kashrus comes out as chalak or kasher, this is just one little, piece of the whole puzzle. We're just talking about sirchas. There's other aspects of what makes something kosher. Chumras, halachas, the actual supervision, yirei shemayim, all kinds of other issues that go into it. So I guess we explain. So there's kasher, there's glot or chalak, then there's another thing that's called Chalak Beit Yosef. So sometimes, again, depends who you buy from and what the slaughterhouse is, and I can't vouch for anyone. If they say Chalak Beit Yosef, sometimes it means, for what we said as an example, the 20-30% that they are peeling the light sirchas. And some places in the world, when it says Chalak Beit Yosef in the Hashkacha, it means it's that 5%. Or maybe in South America, it could be 60 or 70%. Depending on, and again, each herd and each farm is going to be different. So some places, Chalak Beit Yosef means no sirchas whatsoever, and some places it means, okay, so that's what we said. And let's see, anything else important? And in Metzias also, everything we said, basically, just to add one little other thing is, when you're checking it, it obviously depends on the lachatz, the pressure. Every bodek is different, and everyone has a slightly different feel, and everyone has different pressures of financial or time constraints. They have a certain run they have to finish on time, and all these little things make a little bit difference of day to day. But there's no way for any for anyone else to know. When you're a consumer, there's no way to know. Even they themselves, everything gets mixed in, and which is actually helps the whole concept of batel barov. In case there are any mistakes. Okay. So that we covered. Right. And so when any of the badatzes or any of these kashrus understandings, they're checking, once they get to cases of sirchas, when there's too big or too many or questionable, so then if it's really bad, they'll just call it a trefa and move on. And if it's not so bad, it's in between, then they'll give it to the kasher or the stam rabbanut agencies, division to decide, you know, what they're going to do with it. Now, so then the question is, are most animals kosher or not, as far as being a treifa or not? So we all know, most animals has a chazaka that rove are ksheros and not shreifos, right? Assuming the shechita was done, then we assume that most are going to be kosher. And that's how we're able to drink milk without a problem. Because if most cows were actually treifos, so if only 20-30% are going to be glatt kosher, if most animals are treifos, then you would not be able to drink any milk, exactly. But we all drink milk. So what's the heter? So the 20-30% that we're saying is chalak, and the rest is not. So that doesn't mean that 20-30% are ksheros and 70-80% are trefos. It just means these are the ones that passed the standards of chalak. And according to all the Rishonim brought down to our Shulchan Aruch and Achronim, brought down to all kinds of chumras. In other words, if you were to take the Rambam by himself, or the Rashba by himself, or Rashi by himself, you would probably get to more than 50% ksheros, rov. Or, easier, is you would have, if you, a lot of what we're, what the 20-30% that we're calling chalak, it's because it was really easy to peel off, and there's no, and it's with all the chumras of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama put together, and it's with all the Achronim chumras, and there's cases where we know we're supposed to, you're allowed to do bedikas, and you're allowed to do comparisons. It's without doing any of that. So you put all that together, it makes a lot of sense that most of them are actually going to be ksheros and not trefos. Also, there's also one other tidbit that some point out, once Chazal were koveya, that rov behemos are ksheros, that in and of itself is what's koveya the halacha. And so even if the metzius changes, some say, again this is a big debate in the poskim, that even if the metzius changes, it could be the halacha stays exactly the same. And remember, for what it's worth, it's the same chazal who are koveya what a trefa is. Because really a trefa, according to the Torah, is whatever is not going to live more than 12 months. So again, we know from our metzias as well that sometimes sirchas may or may not make a difference, but that is what was koveya by halacha, so by the same chazal. So that's it's only fair to bring both sides. Okay, now I'm sure many are familiar. There are some individuals. Herschel Schechter is one of the most famous ones, who will not drink milk. Why not? So he agrees that most animals cow's milk. Okay, I don't know about other milk. Cow's milk you won't have. He agrees that rove are, as far as I know, he agrees, rove are actually ksheros. So why won't you have the milk? So there's two reasons. Because number one, the milk comes not from stam cows. It comes from dairy cows. Dairy cows are much older. And they all have tons of sirchas. So if you're going to... So everyone agrees when it comes to sirchas, in metzias, you're going to have majority of those cows are going to have sirchas. So that's a real problem.
This is particularly in America where dairy cows are treated.
Okay, it could be more in America than others. I don't know. And then another reason is it's true for eating the meat. It only has to be, it has to be batel barov, right? 51%. But for the milk, so from each individual cow, it is what it is. And then once it gets mixed all together, it's lach bilach, and it has to be batel b'shishim. Now, so that's a bigger problem. Batel b'rov is easy, but batel b'shishim, that we don't have, of ksheros versus trefos. So just to answer it, how do we all have milk? So number one, when we say it has to be batel b'shishim, lach b'lach, it's only when it starts out as a lach that's iser. The milk, when it came out of the cow, we all assume it comes out as you go after the rove. Each drop of milk, or you know, when it comes out of any one cow, has a din. The cow has a din as being rove, ksheros, and so therefore the milk is rove ksheros. So you never have a case of, you never need, batul b'shishim is only when it's a milk that's iser, or an item that's a liquid that's iser. Here there's no iser, there's no, the milk never started out as iser.
That you're saying that's, you assume the din.
Yeah, we all assume,
But if we say we know that the mitzvah is.
So that's a whole other question. But we're everyone assumes rove animals are ksheros and not trefos. If it's not, it's because we have too high of a standard. And that's not what God or Chazal intended. Okay. So that's, okay, so we'll get to that in a second. That's a good point. The other issue of, but first I'm just answering batel b'shishim. The other thing is also a principle of, again, I'm not going to give any psakim over here, but there's a principle of kama kama batel. That if you start out with your first cup of milk, it's kosher, right? Because you go by batel b'rov, for each individual cow, as you're mixing in other milk together, as each drop comes in, it's becoming batel barov. I mean, it is batel b'shishim. Each drop itself, initially, is batel b'shishim. It's only when you add up all the milk afterwards, and then you do your assessment, then it's going to be a problem. And the other issue is, so it's a very good question. So generally, poskim are not worried, are not machalic, which type of cows. Chazal said, you're allowed to drink milk, you're allowed to make milk from cows, and they're a koveya, that it's rove, and they're not machalic. Chazal were never machalic. Well, it depends if you buy a cow from here, a cow from there, how old it is. Chazal never came up with such kind of, and the postgame never came up with such kind of chumras, and therefore, it's a good question. The question's a bit better than the answer, maybe. But it's also a very strong answer as well. Anyway, I guess we'll stop for today.